Can I thank the Reverend Abernethy for the invitation to come and to share with you this evening in the gospel. We pray that God will bless our meeting together and that the Lord will indeed just bless his word as we meditate upon it. We're going to have a wee word of prayer and just commit ourselves to the Lord at the throne of grace in prayer. Eternal God and gracious loving Heavenly Father, we bow in thy holy and thy sacred presence in the name of Jesus Christ, thy lovely Son. We thank thee, O God, our Father, for the beauty of this evening. And we pray that the sunshine of heaven may be experienced in the depths of our soul. We thank thee for everyone that can sing, heavenly sunshine, heavenly sunshine. O God, we thank thee for that sunshine in our souls, more bright than glows in any earthly sky. O God, our heavenly Father, we thank thee for Jesus is our light. I pray that thou wilt bless thy word to our hearts this evening. O by thy Holy Spirit, I pray in Jesus' name that thou wilt anoint me with fresh oil. Thou wilt give me the power that I need to preach the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, bless us and do our hearts good, we pray. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. And for Jesus' sake, amen. I want us to open our Bibles this evening in the book of Ephesians, and the chapter is the chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and I want us to read some verses from God's Word, just 2 verses from God's Word, Ephesians 2, and the verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For by grace are ye saved. Thank God tonight for the privilege and the honor of being saved, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord. But Paul, whenever he's writing to the church at Ephesus, reminds them it was not always that way. There was a time in their lives that they had not experienced God's great salvation. And that's why he's writing in verse number 1, he says, and you hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and in sin. And in these opening verses, we find a description of a person that is unsaved. Here we have the reality of every man and every woman without the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, you hath he quickened or made alive who were dead. That is their experience. That was where the Lord found them. He said that they were spiritually dead. When you go back to the book of Genesis, you find that God said to Adam that of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. And God said, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now men and women say to me, but Adam didn't die that day. In actual fact, when you read in the book of Genesis chapter 5, it said that Adam lived for 930 years, and then it says, and he died. But God says, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. My friend, you've got to understand what the Word of God is saying. You see, my friend, the Bible speaks about spiritual death. The Bible speaks about natural or physical death, and the Bible speaks about eternal death. And we find indeed that when it came to Adam, God says, that day thou shalt surely die. And he did. He died spiritually. He died, he was separated because of a sin from God. The Bible says that God drove Adam from the garden. His sin, as the book of Isaiah chapter 59 says, your iniquities separate between you and God. And so we find indeed that he died that day spiritually, separated because of a sin from God. Now, 930 years, we find it says, and he died. Yes, he died physically. You see, well, what has that got to do with me? You see, it says here, Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus, these people were alive. And yet he said this, ye were dead. Ye were dead. So he's speaking again about the spiritual standing, their spiritual death, because their sin had separated between them and God. And of course they were made alive in Christ, but one day they would physically die. But at that time, his writing, he says, you were dead. That's something in the past. And my friend, that's the same for every man and every woman. Because when we're born, the Bible says, we are born in sin. And we are shaped in iniquity. And our sin separates between us and God. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so we find indeed death passed upon all men for all of sin. And so before you ever die physically, you have died spiritually because you were born with a nature of sin. And that sin has separated between you and God. You know exactly that a dead person is unable to do anything, totally incapable of doing anything for itself. My, the undertaker has got to take the dead body, has got to wash it, has got to dress it and prepare it for the coffin and for the journey to the grave. My friend, there was absolutely nothing that a dead person could do for himself. Yes, that person used to wash themselves. That person used to stand themselves. That person used to speak for themselves. That person used to dress themselves. But when they're dead, they can't do it. Totally incapable of doing anything for themselves. And my friend, spiritually speaking, that reminds us, you, if you're not saved tonight, you are dead. You are dead in your trespasses and in your sin. And there is absolutely nothing, absolutely nothing that you can do to save yourself. That's why you need a Savior. And that's why you need none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In actual fact, a corpse feels nothing. You can push it, you can shove it, you can nip it, you can do it. But that corpse is absolutely dead. It is without feeling. And the Word of God reminds us that of ourselves, we are totally unable to understand or appreciate spiritual things. Why? Because there's no spiritual life within. And that's what you need, my friend. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. You need spiritual life. You need the life of God within you, my friend. You need the new birth. You need to be born again of the Spirit of God. And so he says, you're dead in your trespasses and in your sins. I wonder, have you come to that place where you will acknowledge that's your standing tonight and that's your state before God if you're not saved? That you are spiritually dead. Your sins have separated you from God. And my friend, your sin will separate you from God forever. But not only does the Bible here said that they were dead, but then it says in verse number 2, wherein in past or time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And so we find not only are they dead, but they're disobedient. In other words, they do not obey the Lord. They're living a life of rebellion against God. And dear unsaved person tonight, that's what you're doing. Thank God you're here tonight to listen to the preaching of the Word of God. But your life has been a life of rebellion against God. You have been defying the God of heaven. The Word of God says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But you haven't done it. God says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. But you haven't done it. Because you are living in disobedience to God. You are controlled by the values of the world. Notice, according, you walked according to the course of this world. The values of the world. What's the values of the world, friend? Sin. Sinful values. Man loves his sin. My dear friend, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was standing before Pilate, and Pilate asked the question, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? The crowd said, crucify him. Away with him. We will not have this man to rule over us. You say to me tonight, but I'd never say that. My friend, you're living it. If you have not surrendered your heart to Christ, you said, I don't want Jesus to rule over me. If you have not come and taken your place as a sinner and acknowledged him as your Savior and made him your Lord, then you are living in rebellion against him and you're walking according to the course of this world and its attitudes, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who's the prince of the power of the air? That's the devil, friend. You remember what God, the devil, said to Eve? He said, the day thou eatest thereof, he said, you know, you'll not die. You're not going to die, Eve. You'll become as God. You'll become your own master. You'll come to rule over your life, and God or nobody else will be able to tell you what you have to do. And that's what man wants to do. That's what he's doing in his sin, friend. He's living his own life. He's living his own life. Nobody else can tell me what to do. I'm my own master. Friend, you're not, because you're walking according to the prince of the power of the earth. And the devil sought Adam to disobey. He said, Eve, you'll not surely die. And Eve gave to her husband, and he had heard the command of God. God says, the day you eat thereof, Adam, thou shalt surely die. And God meant it. And so, my friend, man did. He was separated from God because of his sin. And so are you. Are you still, my friend, walking in the pathway of disobedience? Are you listening to the lie of the devil? My, what did the devil say? You can take it, Adam, but there's no account to God. God will not have any control over you anymore. You'll become your own God. You'll become your own master. But my friend, Adam found out. God drove Adam from the garden. Why? Because God was still in control. And my friend, I'll tell you tonight, God is in control. He's the one who's given you life. He's the one that has given you breath. In him you live, you move, you have your very being. You owe your breath tonight to God. And even though you're breathing your breath and you're still living in your sin, God has been good to spare you to tonight. But do not walk in disobedience to God. The devil was a liar. That's what Jesus called him in John's Gospel, chapter 8. He says he's a liar, and so he is. You know, the devil says to you, you can sin and get away with it. You can do whatever you want to do, but there's no accounting to God, friend. Yet read the book of Revelation. God gave John in the Isle of Patmos a revelation. He said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Man, small and great, nobody too small, and nobody too great. But God will bring you to account. Stand before God. God says to the sinner, stand, stand. And my friend, you'll not run away. The Bible said, the corn and the rocks and the mountains hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. But there's no place to hide. No hiding place. And dear friend, you'll not miss that day. The Bible said it is appointed unto men, not by them, but unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. You see, God has appointed, that's what it says in Acts chapter 17. God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world by that man whom he hath ordained. Who is that? That's the Savior. The one that stands at your heart's door and knocks tonight and seeks an entrance. The one who says, behold, I stand at the door of your life and knock. If any man hear my voice and open that door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Yes, they were dead. Dead spiritually, dead to God, living in death. And yet, my friend, men and women think that because they're living my for the world and the flesh and the devil, they're living its real life. And yet God calls it death. You're dead. And then disobedient. But then look at verse number 3. It says in verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, or the life that we have lived in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. There we find that man's not only dead spiritually and disobedient, but he's defiled. And that's what sin does, my friend. Sin defiles a man. He fulfills the desires. That's what it says. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh. Isn't that what happened with Adam? Isn't that what happened with Adam, friend? As Adam was handed that fruit by Eve and he looked upon it, and the Bible said it was one that was to be desired. He desired it. He longed for it. He lusted after it. And then the Bible says he took the next step. He took it. He took it. You see, the Word of God says, fulfilling. In times past, you walked in the lusts of your flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. You know, man living today, and he feels that just whatever he likes, whatever he wants, he can have. That's the spirit of this age, friend. Do whatever you like. You're your own master. You're your own boss. If you want it, have it. Nobody has the right to tell you you can't have it. God put a prohibition. And God says, Adam, of all the trees thou mayest freely eat, but, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. And God's word says, look at the commandments which God has given. God says, thou shalt not. Does God mean it? Yes, he does. God says, thou shalt. Does God mean it? Yes, he does. Because God is the right. God is the right. What did Job say? That God gave and God taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's the right. And God put a prohibition on Adam, and he said, thou shalt not. But Adam lusted after it. It looked good. My, it promised him joy and happiness and freedom. And what did it bring? It brought him bondage. And he defiled himself. And the Bible says that he looked upon himself and he saw that he was naked. And then he ran to hide himself in his nakedness. That wasn't what the devil promised him, was it? You see, friend, the devil may promise you the fruit that's rosy, but the devil's fruit has worms. They'll destroy you. Defilement. And that's exactly what the devil promised. The devil promised it to David when he looked upon Bathsheba. And they lusted after her and committed adultery with her. But that sin broke his heart. He said, my sin is ever before me. I can't get away from it. And dear sinner, I want to tell you something. If you take your sin, there can come a time when God will hand you over to it. And God says, take it. Take it. Take all your sin. But I want to tell you, down in hell, you'll not forget it, but you will regret it. And Adam regretted what he did. Yes, he fulfilled the lusts of the flesh and of the mind. Why? Because he was defiled. God says the sinner's dead. God says the sinner is disobedient. God says the sinner's defiled. But look at the end of verse 3. And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. They were in danger. By nature, the children of wrath. That's not what the devil promised him, was it? Do you remember what the devil said again? You'd become as gods. You'd be elevated. Your sin will lift you up. And yet his sin pulled him down. And he was in danger because he was by nature the children of wrath. In other words, under condemnation, doom. And humanly speaking, my friend, before God, left to your sin will doom you, your sin will damn you. Sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin will cost you far more than you ever want to pay. And friend, the Bible tells us that by nature we are children of wrath because sin brings the wrath of God. He that believeth not is condemned already. Sin brings you under the condemnation of a righteous and a holy God. What an awful tragedy. Instead of paying you dividends, sin damns you. And that for all eternity. Say to me, preacher, what an awful picture. And so it is. It's a tragic picture, friend. But that's you. That's God's picture. I want to tell you, did you look in the mirror this morning? Maybe you looked in it before you came out. Did you see that everything was in order? And you were dressed right? Tell me, had you looked in God's mirror? This is God's mirror. And what does God see? What does God see when he looks in your heart? God sees that you're dead and you're disobedient and you're defiled and you're in danger. You're doomed, condemned in your sin. That's what God sees. Friend, tonight, listening to this preacher, if you're not saved, that's the reality of your heart. Sin's an awful paymaster, isn't it? Promises pleasure. Ah, yes, there are certain pleasures in sin. What did Moses say? He chose rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. For it's all only for a season. Because it passes. Say, preacher, is there no hope? Is there no hope? Look at the opening of verse 4. But God. But God. Thank God, my friend, there is a blessed hope. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Ah, John 3:16, listen to it again, friend. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, in Jesus Christ, in Christ alone, should not perish, but have everlasting life. But God, left to ourselves. I want to tell you, my friend, Adam's sin. You know what Adam tried to do? He tried to cover it up. He and Eve, they sewed the fig leaves to hide their nakedness, but they were naked before God. And the Bible says they were ashamed of their nakedness before God. They tried to hide their nakedness, but they couldn't do it. And then the voice of the Lord God came walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And then they ran to hide themselves. Because you see, the fig leaves didn't hide them. And so they thought the trees could. But nothing, my friend, will hide you from the eyes of God. God sees you exactly as you are tonight. See, sitting in that car. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord go to and fro in the whole earth. Even to that very car you're sitting in tonight. God sees you. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks the heart. And God's looking into the depths of your soul tonight. And God sees you as you really are. And that's what God saw in Adam. He saw him as he was. But God provided a covering. And the animal's blood was shed. And God gave Adam and Eve a covering for their nakedness to cover their shame. Thank God tonight. But God, who is rich in mercy, has provided a covering for man's sin. It's the precious blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. But God, let me tell you, my friend, all your need is answered in the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sinner in his sin. But thank God, the Savior. Thank God, God provided a Savior. For your sins, you need cleansing. But thank God the Bible tells us, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth, yea, keeps on cleansing from all sin. For your spiritual death, thank God there's spiritual life. You have the quickened. The word there is made alive. He's made you alive. He has given you new life. You say, preacher, where is that new life? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said to Nicodemus, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. For your sinfulness, for your defilement, thank God, there is cleansing. For your slavery, thank God, there's liberation. Thank God, whilst you are in your sin, you're an enemy to God, but thank God, he has provided in Christ reconciliation. Reconciled to God through the blood of his cross. For your separation, thank God, through the blood you're brought nigh, through the blood of Jesus, adopted into his family, made children of God by the new birth. Now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. Hallelujah. And for your separation, thank God, there is reconciliation. And for your sentence, thank God, there is pardon. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. God pardons all our sins. He puts them into the sea of his forgiveness. He places all the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ to our account. Thank God he was treated legally as guilty because he stood as my substitute. He died in my guilty room instead. He shed his precious blood that I might be saved. I am saved tonight by grace. The unmerited, undeserved favor of God. I don't deserve heaven, but glory to God, I'll be there. I don't deserve forgiveness of sin, but praise God, tonight I have it through the blood. I don't deserve to be in God's family, but now are we the sons of God. I'm not waiting someday. I'm a child of the King. The world may laugh at us, the world may scoff at us, the world may scorn us, but thank God, if you're a child of God tonight, you're a child of the King, a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and you'll never perish. Hallelujah. For there's none has the power to pluck you out of his hand. By grace are you saved through faith. That's the hand that reaches out. A hand of faith and trust rests upon the finished work of Jesus Christ. Upon a death I did not die. Upon a life I did not live. Upon a death I did not die. Another's life, another's death. Hallelujah. I stake my whole eternity. I rest my soul tonight upon what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, did for an old rotten sinner like me. Thank God I'm saved. Because by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. Friend, you cannot work to get to heaven. You can't work to merit something in the sight of God. For at best, you're only a sinner. But thank God, I want to tell you, Jesus finished the work at the cross. Jesus paid it all. It's all to him we owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, and the blood of Jesus washed us white as snow. Will you come to him tonight? Will you trust him as your Savior? Heavenly Father, bless thy word to our hearts. And may some precious soul listening to the preaching of thy word run to Christ for mercy, run to Christ for pardon, run to Christ for salvation. For we pray in the Savior's lovely name. Amen.